Our first reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. Listen for the word of the Lord. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." Here ends the first reading.
From the Gospel of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord. In our gospel reading from Matthew, the gift of Christmas, the sheer miracle of its message, is that in Jesus Christ, God is Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us always. Long before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, this holy presence of God with the people of God was announced by the prophet Isaiah. When the Assyrian army loomed ominously over the kingdom of God's people, threatening it with destruction, Isaiah declared to King Ahaz, "Do not be afraid. Have courage, be patient, and trust in God." God instructs Ahaz to ask for a sign, a concrete, visible confirmation of the divine promise, but Ahaz is afraid to ask and to put God to the test. So, despite the king's resistance, Isaiah delivers the sign. A young woman has conceived and will bear a son, and she will name him Emmanuel. God is with us. According to one Old Testament scholar, at the heart of this encounter between the prophet and the king is an invitation. Isaiah invites Ahaz to look at the world differently and to see God not just in the remote sphere of the Creator's holiness, but also in the very earthly daily realities of human affairs. Isaiah charges the king to look at the world and to see that against all odds, actually, God is in control of its future. Isaiah redirects the king's vision from the big, oppressive Assyrian army bearing down on his people to look at one newborn baby, and in the face of that child, to see God is with us. From the ancient prophet Isaiah, when we move forward several centuries to the gospel reading and the angel's promise to Joseph, we find the same invitation to redirect our vision in order to see God, despite the very human complications of Joseph's predicament, a legal contract of marriage disrupted by an unexpected pregnancy, a groom confused about what to do, and deciding to dismiss Mary quietly, his reasonable plan of action disrupted by a dream, the angel encourages Joseph, trust in God's plans for the future. The gospel harkens back to the old prophet saying, a baby is on the way, and he will be named Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Both the prophet's message to the king and the angel's assurance to Joseph announced to real people with real problems facing an uncertain and scary future that God enters into human events in an extraordinary, mysterious, and powerful way, and to be with us. Amid the unexpected, fearful stuff of real life, God with us in whatever comes our way. So whether they be kings in positions of power or lowly carpenters just trying to get by and do the right thing, God's gracious presence is as close as holding a newborn baby to your shoulder. God's coming is that holy, that precious and fragile. And God's coming is that earthy and real. Jim Lowry is an old preacher friend of mine, now retired from parish ministry. He grew up in South Carolina and mastered the art of being a Southern storyteller kind of preacher. Most of his stories center around the odd and wondrous characters of his family. Now, some of us have a hard time looking at our own family stories and finding any kind of divine glow. But looking back, Jim has learned to see the thread of God's presence holding his memories together. Jim remembers how his two grandmothers had very different ways of inviting him to participate in the Christmas story. Both of his grandmothers made fruit cakes, and Jim says that kind of like Tom Sawyer, they each managed to convince him that chopping nuts and cutting up the candy fruit was a task of great honor and suitable for a growing boy, since he got to use the sharp knife and all. But beyond making the fruitcakes, there was nothing much the same about his grandmothers, not even the fruitcakes. His grandmother Lowry pulled her fruitcake out of the oven and simply let it cool, while his maternal grandmother Banks had a special secret ingredient that came all the way from Kentucky that she poured over the top, drenching the cake in potent fume, she said, simply to keep it moist. His grandmother Lowry, who lived in Seneca, South Carolina, which we call the upstate, took him over to deliver her delicious and sober fruitcake to one of her well-to-do friends. They were invited into the parlor that was quite fine and formal. As previously instructed, young Jim sat quietly and was only spoke when he was spoken to, a lesson he says he's long since forgotten. But from the corner of my eye, he writes, I could see on a table across the room the most magnificent manger scene I had or have yet seen. No doubt seeing me glance in its direction, taking me by the hand to be sure I wouldn't touch it, our hostess invited me to walk with her to look more closely. And we looked, and my grandmother took my other hand as a double measure of insurance and explained that all the figures were made of finest china, that their hostess had held in her lap for the long trip across the Atlantic Ocean all the way from England where they had been made. The manger scene pieces were in purest white. You could almost see through the angel wings. The shepherd's crook was as fine as a thread. The swaddling clothes were paper thin and gave the appearance of a wondrous softness. Mary's hands and fingers were clearly defined and nothing so much as fragile, except maybe gentle, more even than fragile. Gentle Mary laid her child lowly in a manger. The lesson Jim learned from his grandmother Lowry, who invited him to see her friend's extraordinary, fragile manger scene, was that something holy was happening, something so holy and precious that it could not be touched. He realizes now that the unfolding of the sovereign will of God is always unspeakably holy. It really cannot be touched. His grandmother Banks lived in St. Matthews, South Carolina, down near the coast in the Low Country. She also made quite a to-do of getting ready for Christmas, but getting ready for Christmas at his grandmother Banks' house was a lot different than getting ready at Grandmother Lowry's, even beyond the fumy fruitcake. The manger scene at his grandmother Banks' house was so different from the lovely, delicate one in the parlor of Grandmother Lowry's friend. Hers was built with children in mind. She had a great gourd, almost as big as a bushel basket. His grandfather Banks had cut a hole out of the side of the gourd and painted the inside dark blue to look like the sky. He dotted the sky with stars, and then he did a most remarkable thing. He installed a little electric light in the sky that could be turned on to be the Christmas star. But best of all, they had a shoebox filled to overflowing with a wonderful assortment of mix and match figures. Most of the figures were chipped and bruised, and the angel wings were bent from years of touching and pretending. For weeks before Christmas, as a way of getting ready, the gourd was kept on the floor with the box of figures beside it. Together, they were an invitation for children of all ages to arrange and rearrange the figures and to tell the story to anyone who would listen. And of course, most important of all, it was a chance for little people and big people alike to become part of the remarkable story of that birth. Jim remembers touching the story and believing yourself to be part of the story are most remarkable lessons to be learned from a most remarkable woman who herself well knew the pain and the joy and the hope that come with giving birth. What is this thing we do at Christmas, Jim asked, looking back at the very different and wonderful ways both of his grandmothers invited him to celebrate Christmas, is it something so holy it cannot be touched? We can only stand quietly and pray. Is it something so human it has to be touched and held lest it get away? It is, of course, both of those things, Jim concluded. Friends, our world is not unlike the world of Isaiah at the time of King Ahaz, with the Assyrian army all around. All we need do is to look at those children in Aleppo and listen to their cries for help and see the threat and feel their fear. But into our world of threats and fears and an uncertain future, God comes with a presence so holy and powerful, it cannot be touched by human hands. It is a peace that surpasses our understanding. Unspeakably grand and mysterious, God comes to us in ways that cosmic wonders about the universe wrap the mantle of eternity around us. And our personal lives are not unlike that of Joseph. Each one of us at some time or another has been upended by some unexpected turn of events. We too have been fearful and perplexed, not knowing what to do. And yet into our lives, God comes to be with us as close as a baby lifted to our shoulder and covering our heart. So touchable that our finite fingers are allowed for a moment to touch the memory of a baby born in a world of fear and unbelievable turmoil in Bethlehem, and thereby lighting it up in a blaze of hope and glory. This Christmas, Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts, shine in our darkness. Christ be our light. Shine in your church gathered today. Amen.